I'm going to be talking this morning in chapter 25 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25, so you want to turn there with me. And if those who are taking notes, I'm going to break it up, and we're just going to go through these two parables and then the urging of the Lord in the last part of the chapter. But the first parable is this personal salvation, this idea of being ready for the Lord. And the second one is a reasonable stewardship, and that is the parable of the talents. Reasonable stewardship. And the last one is a practical service, servanthood. Those are the three things that we're going to go into this morning. But I want to make sure, as I talk about the things that we are called to do for the Lord, it is not a salvation issue. It is not something that you need to work before your salvation. As Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation. In other words, take what God has given you, the talents and the gifts and the strength that he's given you, and work those towards the Lord. I take my reference also from the fact that his works is not a prerequisite for salvation, as the example of the thief on the cross. The Lord says, remember me in your kingdom. And the Lord says, today you'll be with me in paradise. So there was no works there by that thief. He was with the Lord. But may I suggest that there was no works by that thief because he didn't have an opportunity to work. He was going to be crucified at that very moment. We are not in that position. We have opportunities to work for the Lord. We have opportunities to do those things that the Lord is calling us to do. So I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't want to confuse anyone when I'm talking about works. I'm not saying it's a salvation issue. I'm saying it's a gratitude issue. I'm saying it's an issue of the heart being what he has done for us that we could not do for him, and what he is literally calling us to do, and also warning us of the consequences of not doing those things. And so let's begin. I'm going to read the first parable all the way through to get context, and then we will just go back and tear it apart a little bit. Chapter 25, verse 1 of Matthew. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now the 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard before, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give me some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should be enough for not be enough for all, for you and for us and for you. But go rather to those who sell and buy yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your encouragements, and we also thank you for your warnings, because those are for us because you love us. That you do not want us to miss what you have for us. That you do not want us to be excluded from the blessings that you want to lavishly bestow upon us. So, Father, may we open up our hearts this morning. May we examine our lives. May we examine how we conduct our lives. And may we examine ourselves in light of your word. Father, may you just be glorified this morning and all that we do. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. In context for us, as we all know, Jesus is what? He is the bridegroom. And who are we then? We are the bride. So when we're talking in this context, Jesus is the bridegroom and we are the are the bride. Now, there is three aspects of a Jewish wedding at that in that time. There was the engagement. We even talked about this last Wednesday. There was the engagement that was made, this arrangement made by the two fathers. It had nothing to do with the boy and the girl. It was between the families. There was this engagement. Then there was this betrothal, which were promises made to one another as that when they grew up and it was time for them to get married. Now, they could get married very young in those days, early teenage years, but they made this betrothal, this promise made to one another. And then about a year later, the marriage ceremony and the consummation of the marriage would take place. So we're at that aspect now. They have gone through the engagement, they have gone through the betrothal, and now they're ready for the marriage. And what happens, and traditionally what happens, the groom will come to get his bride. In our context, Jesus will be coming back and coming to get his bride, the church. But here, the bridegroom is coming to get his bride, and tradition, they had the day. Everybody knew the day this was going to happen, but they had no idea of the hour. They didn't know if it was going to be in the morning. They didn't know it was going to be in the afternoon. It could be midnight that night for that bridegroom to come. So they needed to be ready. They needed to be prepared. So this is the context of what we're seeing now. Follow that with, we don't know the time or the place when the Lord is coming either. So we need to be prepared. So the kingdom of heaven is likened 10 virgins. 10 is the number of completion in Hebrew. 10 commandments, that was completed. God completed that. In any kind of city where there's Jewish population, there has to be at least 10 Jewish males to have a synagogue. So those are this number of completion. So we're seeing these 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. So the bridegroom hasn't come yet, but they're coming out to meet him. They're coming out to wait for them. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. It's not saying here that they were bad or good. They were just saying they were wise or foolish. Not evil and bad, bad or good. They were really basically the group of the prepared and the unprepared. That's what we'll be looking at. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with them. In other words, oil is represented what in Scripture? What do you remember what the oil is representative? The Holy Spirit. The oil is representative of the Holy Spirit. So in our case, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and he continues to fill us. It's not a one-time filling. In this case, the lamps were full. All 10 lamps were full. You'll see here in a minute that there was oil in those lamps. But the 5 wise virgins took oil along with them to refill their lamps. We are to be continually refilled by the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit works through us. That we are to those works that we are doing, we need to have a continual filling of the Holy Spirit. So those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels or a container with their lamps. Now also this word could be, lamps could be translated as torches as well as I was reading. So it could be torches or lamps, but it's for a better picture of what we're looking at. We're looking at a lamp that takes oil to burn. A wick is going to burn. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So in other words, every one of them, the 5 wise virgins and the 5 unwise virgins were all sleeping at this time. We all go through this in our fellowship. There's wise and unwise with us, but we are all in the same boat at this point. We're all doing those same things. There's no distinction between the two. And at midnight, so in other words, it wasn't in the morning, wasn't in the afternoon. The bridegroom waited all the way until the last moment of time on that day that it was designated to come. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." This great excitement was there. They had prepared. They had done the things that they wanted to do. There was a time of rest because they have prepared what they were doing. And all looked the same. They all looked like they were doing the work that was called upon them to do. Go out and meet them. Then all of the virgins rose, all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. In other words, they were preparing for that lamp to continue to burn. And it was burning. Remember, that lamp was lit and it was burning. So all was, in our case, looked at the strength of the Holy Spirit to dwell in them and to nurture them and to give them light and life. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." In other words, they were not, in our context, were not being refilled with the Holy Spirit. They were not calling upon Him to do those works that He's called us to do. But in many cases, we're probably doing them in their own strength, in our case. Many times, I've learned this from the world of Hard Knocks. We cannot do things in our own strength. We cannot do those things that we feel that God's called us to do. We need to know what God is really calling us to do and then allowing Him to use His strength through the Holy Spirit to give us strength to do those things. Because I will warn you and I'll flatly tell you, if you do it in your own strength, you're just going to burn yourself out. You're just not going to last. You have to use His strength and to do those works, the works that He's calling you to do. The work might be noble. The work might be beautiful, might be wonderful, might be exactly what God even wants. But He might not want it for you to do it. He's calling others to do those many different works. We need to know what the Lord is calling us to do and then go do that. We need to do the works that He's calling us to do. And only that we can way to do that is continue to be filled by the Holy Spirit to give them strength. So at midnight, they heard the cry, the bridegroom is coming. They all arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some oil of your oil, for our lamps are going out." We are stumbling. We're not being able to do those things that we are needing to do. It did just not last. Their walk, in our case, our walk is just not lasting because we're not relying upon the Holy Spirit, not relying upon who called us. But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you." So in other words, I can't share any of mine, and we can't get the Holy Spirit from other people. This is, as young people, if you're going to church many times in the young adolescent age because your mom and dad are telling you to. You're going there. You're going to church because you're told to go. Eventually, you're going to need to rely upon yourself, desiring to go. Desiring to have the Holy Spirit minister to you, to give you that strength to come. So they wanted to rely on somebody else's oil or somebody else's Holy Spirit in strength as an example, but eventually it would not work. Eventually it will burn out. So the desire is coming, needs to come from us individually within us. "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered and saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. In other words, they're saying to go out and get your own oil. You needed to get your own oil. But when we hesitate, when we do not wait, or we wait too long, there is no chance to get that oil for them, and there is no chance for us, because we need to be diligent and understand the time and the place, and we need to be prepared. They were not prepared. For while they went to buy, the groom came. So I heard one time, you watch for the slings and arrows that come after us. Satan is always roaming this earth looking for those who he can devour, and those arrows and spears would come after you. I heard a pastor say one time, but watch out for the one that comes from behind. You never see that one coming, do you? And you can't wait for that time. Oh, I will do this later. Or I will go ahead and I don't need to do that today. I'll put that off until another time. I know the Lord is calling me to do this or calling me to do that, but I'm just going to wait. There's no need for me to do it now because look at all the time I have left. We're not seeing that arrow coming from behind, are we? And so they were caught not prepared. They were caught in an instant where they could not control it, and they had lost that ability. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with them to the wedding, and the door was shut. So the door is no longer available to them. It will be no longer available to us. There will be that time that will come that will lose that the ability that the Lord is calling us, and we have passed that time. Afterward, the other virgins came, the unwise. Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Well, they knew, at least they knew the day, and they still weren't ready. How much more do we need to be ready because we don't even know the day? We don't even know the time that he's coming. We need to do those things that the Lord is calling us to do. We need to have the ability. This personal salvation is that we need to be ready for any time the Lord to come. The salvation is from him, but our obligation is to be ready for him, to continue to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Continue to do the works that he's calling us to do and not put them off and not try to scramble and buy them later as the virgins were trying to buy the oil later. But we need to be prepared to do those things. Again, they were described as foolish and or wise and foolish, not good or bad. We need to look at this whole situation within ourselves is prepared and unprepared. Are you prepared? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 through 23, it says, I'll start with 21. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and have done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So even here they're saying, we did all these things, Lord. The Lord says, I don't know you. So what's the answer if they've done those things? In other words, if they've actually cast out demons in your name and they actually prophesy, how would that happen? There's three aspects of that. Either one, they were lying and weren't telling the truth. They didn't do any of those things. They were just trying to say, look what we did trying to fool the Lord. Or Satan was using them because we know Satan could match the miracles. He did many times of those things. We see that in Exodus with the priests from Pharaoh matched many of the miracles that God did. Or the third one is God will use anyone. He used Balaam's donkey. If he can use Balaam's donkey, he can use you. And then we have this false sense of security. We don't understand exactly where we're coming from here then, do we? Because they said, Lord, Lord, are they sincere? I'm thinking they could be very sincere. But yet the Lord says, I didn't know you. Because what you were doing wasn't doing it in my strength. It was either doing it in your own strength, or it was doing it in a way that I wasn't calling you to do it. And so we need to be prepared for that, to understand that. Because I would never want the Lord... to say. Now, basically, also remember, I think I'm preaching to the choir here. But I don't know all your hearts. There's no way for me to do that. The Lord is warning me through Scripture. The Lord is warning you through Scripture. So now we're warning one another to build one another up. Let's move on to the next parable, the parable of the talents. Now, this is what you would call a reasonable stewardship. A reasonable things that we should be doing for the Lord. Again, not for salvation, but because of our salvation, because of the gratitude of what he has done for us. So in verse 14 it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. And immediately he went on a journey. This is Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And now I am in 15. And he who gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each was according to his ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Verse 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received the 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents because of them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord, of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents and besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Let's stop right there, and we'll fill this in a little bit. To us, talent, talents wasn't an actual coin or a piece of money. It was a weight. It was a measure. So you had to figure out what they were weighing to figure out the value of it. But most agree that this talent was at least a year's salary. So we're not talking about a little bit. And many, it was a tradition for those rulers or for those landowners who had to go on a long trip to leave in responsibility some of the slaves that they very much trusted with all his affairs. That was not unusual to do. And so he was leaving his affairs and his wealth to these trusted slaves. All 3 of them were trusted. All 3 of them looked as though they were all equal in their love and trust of the Lord. So, but in our case, in our context here, we're going to be looking at talents as our time, treasure, and talents, the abilities that God has given us in our time, in our treasures, and then in our talents to do those things that God has called us to do. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And again, we're talking about it could be almost a year's salary. Another, to one of his, they gave 5 talents and two to another one. So in other words, there was this one, we are giving our talents in according to our abilities. God knows exactly what we are capable of doing and what he desires for us to do. But if you notice at the end, when the one with 5 talents said, look, I made 5 more. And so he did, and he has 10. And now the other servant had 2, made 2 more. So he has 4. But look, the reward was exactly the same. God doesn't, well, what am I trying to say? God doesn't respect man's position. We are all equal in God's eyes. So the response by the Lord was equal in this case. So the Lord is giving us talents. The Lord is giving us abilities, and he's expecting us to use them. He's expecting us to do those things with the talent and the time and the treasure that he's given us to do. He's expecting that. And then with that, he rewarded us. Just because one person is doing this and another person is doing that, that one person should say, look at him, I've done nothing. Well, if God has called you to do this little thing with 2 talents to make 4, you don't judge your actions by the man that had 5 talents and made 10, because God is looking at us equally. He loves us equally, but we are to use those talents for his glory to do those things, because we are being the first, the thing that we want to know the most, isn't it? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear when we come before the Lord and the things that he has assigned for us, in the stewardship that we have been assigned. I see a young father standing in the back trying to hold it. He turns around. That is his stewardship. He is responsible for that. Is not his child. You know, that is not his child. That is God's child. And he is responsible for that child. We as parents are responsible for the children that we raise. And we are to raise them in the likeness of his son. But are we responsible as they grow older? We still love our children. We still want to make sure our children are well and healthy. But our children also, as I said before, that when they go to church as young people, they go because mom and dad are going. As they go to church when they're older, it's their responsibility. We need to continue to nurture them. We need to continue to encourage them. But they, at one point in time, have to decide. And it is not us. And I want to look at myself in the mirror and say, I've done, Lord, what you've called me to do. If their free will has gone another direction, I continue to pray for their salvation. I continue to pray for them, but that's not on me. Does that make sense? I mean, that's just something that we need to understand. It's not our guilt. But unless we have not done the things that we've been called to do as parents, the works that we have been called to do. I didn't want to get off on that subject. But anyway, those are the things that we've been called to do. So these guys were rewarded the same, no matter if they did a little or a lot. They were assigned according to their abilities. Now, what they needed to find out and what we need to find out is what all our gifts. We have all have gifts. God has given us gifts. God has given us talents. But if you don't use those talents, number one, they don't progress. We have teachers and professors in this room right now. If they are learning and they are growing, I would dare to say they're better teachers now than the day they started. We have painters in this room. We might have plumbers in this room. I dare to say that they are better than they were when they first started because they worked those abilities. They worked out their talents. They worked them out. They didn't hold them. They didn't bury that talent. They used it. They used that talent for the glory of God. So these were called, and the Lord said to him, and the second one, well done, good and faithful servant. He said to the first one, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Both of them said a few things. The Lord of theirs did not say, you've been faithful over a bunch of stuff, and you've been faithful over a piddly amount. He says, you've been both faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. In other words, he will reward us for the work that we have done, the talents that we have been given by him. Verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look there, you have what is yours. So he's actually being proud of what he's doing, isn't he? He's not bowing his head. He says, here it is, I got it for you. And the action of the Lord is, but the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have had received back my own and with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who had 10 talents. For to anyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away, and cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Man, that is a severe punishment. That is about as severe as you can be. So let's go back and see what the issue is here. So the servant, the unprofitable servant, says, he who received the one talent said, Lord, I know you are a hard man. In other words, he says, in light of who you are, in light of what you can do, in comparison to who I am and what I don't think I can do. I'm going to put it that way. Don't think I can do. I'm not going to do anything. I cannot do it because of who you are. That was his mistake. That was his misunderstanding what the Lord wanted him to do. He only gave him one talent according to his ability. They were all given to according to his ability. So he's looking at it and says, you have an ability, now use it. Use the ability that God has given you, even if it's just one thing. In our sense, look at the gifts that we got. If you have never taught Sunday school, I encourage you to teach. You might say, well, I can't teach. How do you know? Have you ever done it? You know, how, if you, well, anything in this fellowship, but not just in this fellowship, outside of this fellowship, and anything in the community that God is calling you to do, do it. If you say, if many of us say, well, I've been saved by grace through faith. I'm here. I've got no problems. If I want to do something, I might do it, or I can wait until I'll do it later. I've been saved by grace through faith, and here I am. Think about the five foolish virgins. They kept on putting it off. Think about this man who had one, or servant, who had one talent, just a small thing, and he put it off. He says, I can't do this. He was afraid. Many times, how are we afraid to step out in faith? Are we afraid to do those things that we know God is calling us to do, but we don't do them? We are losing out on those blessings. Will that chore, will that job be done by the Lord? Yes, but somebody else will reap the glory and the praise and the well, you know, the benefits from it. I shouldn't say praise, because we're not after praise, but we're after God's granting us well, hearing him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So he was mistaken, and because of that, he suffered. He says, in other words, don't act like you have no ability in Christ. It's not the ability, it's the availability. In other words, I don't know if I can do this, and I'm probably not going to be very good at it, but I'm available. Use me. Here I am. Use me. Look, we saw Moses. Moses tried to get out of it all the time. He said, I can't do this. I can't do that. God was exasperated. He said, okay, bring Aaron over. You know, and I'll speak through Aaron, but I'm just going to speak through you, and Aaron, can you be your voice? But Moses went on and on and on and on saying, I don't want to do this. I can't do this. Let somebody else. God wouldn't let him go. So if God is looking at you saying, do this, and you're saying, I can't, then you're in danger of having that arrow come behind you and not doing those things. Again, not a salvation issue. It is a gratitude issue. It is a grateful issue. It is what God is calling us to do. But look at the warning that he's given us. Very severe warning in both of these. Let me move on. Verse 21, the Son of Man will judge the nations. This is not actually a parable, but this is the last segment of the Olivet Discourse that Jesus was given to the people. He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, given this discourse, and this is the end of it. And he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand out of the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Now, in light of that, look at the response of the righteous. And the righteous will answer to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? So they were asking this question. They didn't see it. There was this pure desire to serve others. The example of Christ in our lives is to serve others. But in purity, in gratefulness of what the Lord has done for them. They did it so purely they didn't recognize it. They didn't see it. Because the Lord answered those questions, and the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, insomuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on his left hand. So he's going to talk about the goats in a second. But look at the purity of what they've done. The service that they did was out of a great heart of gratitude. This practical servanthood. We are to be servants to one another. Again, it's not really a parable. It's also probably a description of the Lord when he comes back before the millennial rule. This is not the great white throne judgment. This comes after that 1,000 years. That's not what it's saying here. So the Lord is saying, I'm going to divide the group that are here after the tribulation. There'll still be several billion people on earth, but I'm going to divide these. We are coming back with him, the church. We are not in this group. We are coming back with him as a church, as the church, as he comes back and he divides them. He divides the sheep from the goats. Sheep can be herded, and evidently I'm heard goats can't. You can't herd a goat. Or is it a flock of goats? A flock of sheep. I don't know what goats are. But you can't ever evidently herd goats. But goats and in the fields during the spring and the summertime, they are in the fields together, and then they are divided at night. And the sheep are going one way and the goats are going another. But you can't herd goats, evidently. So how they do that, don't ask me. Ask a goat herder. Okay, so then he also to those on the verse 41 on his left hand, those are the goats, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." So that everlasting fire wasn't prepared for us, had nothing to do with us. It is for the devil and his angels that it was prepared. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick in prison, and you did not visit me. In other words, this was their indifference. They saw these things. They saw them, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Not necessarily these things, or if you're called to do these things. I know several in here that are called to serve the Lord in a way that they help the elderly. They help those who are indigent. They help those who cannot help themselves. That's a calling. A nurse is a calling that many of us are not called to do. The ability that God's given them is amazing. But these here, he's talking about the goats, their indifference to the Lord and the calling of the gospel. They did not do the work that God had called them to do. He says, they didn't do those things. Then they will also answer him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will have answered to them saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, insomuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it unto me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So in other words, when we are called to do those things that we are called to do, the talents that God's given them, don't hide them. Don't put them under a bushel basket. Don't put them in a way, don't bury them. Don't look at yourself as saying, I'm saved by grace through faith. I can do those things, kind of the things I want to do, kind of the things I don't want to do. I got other things I want to do. I want to do that. That's the wrong attitude. Don't sit on your, rest on your laurels. Nancy and I looked this up. Laurels. Don't rest on your laurels. You know where that statement, where that came from? Resting on your laurels? Any idea? In the Greek games, in the Olympics, what are coming up next month, in the Greek Olympics, the runners or those who are participating that won were given this laurel wreath to put on their heads. They were given this wreath. And the saying is, don't rest on what you've done in the past. Don't rest on your laurels. Move forward. In our walk with the Lord, we're either moving forward or we're moving backwards. We never stay still. It's because of our flesh, because our flesh is evil and it wants to do the things it wants to do. So we can't coast. We have to do the things God's called us to do to be able to hear the Lord saying, "Hey, good, well done, good and faithful servant." I'm going to go to, if you want, go to James chapter 1, verse 25. James chapter 1, verse 25. I'm going to start with 22. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself going away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty," this salvation that we have, faith, salvation through faith, through grace by faith, "this perfect law of liberty, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So be hearers of the word, and be doers of the word also. And in closing, I'm going to do my venture into technology. I was too lazy last night, there's talk about laziness, to type something. And if you ever saw me type, you would know why I didn't have time to do this. And this is out of John Corson's devotional. And he says, "Engraved in a cathedral in Germany, these words, 'They speaketh Christ our Lord to us.'" And it's entitled, "You called me master. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me way and walk me not. You call me life and choose me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me might and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not." Powerful words. I think it's very powerful to understand that God is so just and so loving and so gracious and so patient. But there is an obligation that we have. We have a free gift of life, eternal life through Him. But that when we are given a gift, we're also given responsibilities. So don't rest on your laurels. Don't sit on and procrastinate the things that God's called you to do. If there is a mission that He's called you to do, take it. If there is a job that being open to the ability to do, do it. Don't wait until the fact is, "I can't do this because I don't know how." Jump in. God will give you the strength and give you the talent that you need. And if you find out this is not for me, then you've known that's not the gift I have. I'm going to go find something else. Don't just stop, is what I'm trying to say to you. Because there's a warning here when we don't do those things that the Lord has called us to do. And that He will bless you beyond your wildest dreams. He will bless you more than you'll ever realize if you will just do those things that He's called you to do, and heaven on earth will be here for you, and you will be mightily blessed. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for the time that You've given us to do those things that You've called us to do. What a blessing it is to serve You. What a blessing it is to get off the couch and do those things You've called to do. And Father, that we find out many different talents that we have. But we know that You've given us at least one. And our job is to find out what that one is. Father, may You just be glorified. May You be just pleased with what we do. Father, may You be that You will follow us forever. That You will give us the insight and the strength that we'll need to do those things that You've called us to do. Father, and that we will glorify You in all of those talents, all of the time, all of the treasure that You have, that we have, that is really rightfully Yours. Father, may we honor You in all things. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? I find it amazing what God has done. I think we saw in that one verse that we sang that we see him standing, and I can't remember how it goes, but we stand amazed. And you ever sit there how amazed you will be and how awesome God is? He said, look what he's allowing me to do. Not in my own pride, but being amazed that he's actually using me, using you, using us. He will do those things if we step out. The priest first had to step their toe in the River Jordan at flood stage before he would allow the river to back up. And they had to stay in that flood stage until that water actually drained. They didn't see it. They had to wait for it. And we need to see it and wait for it as well. But first, we need to step our toe into the water and allow God to use us.